Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have him back, Dr. Travis Yates, retired as a major from the Tulsa Police Department. I think that's, what, two, 3 years ago now, Travis? Not that I'm keeping tabs, but 2 years now? Okay, so welcome back to the show. Also, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, former LAPD commander, who retired just a year ago, and also from LA. This is going to be like an LAPD show. I'm getting nervous, Travis. Don't worry, Travis, I have your back. We have another LAPD lieutenant, Chuck Springer, that's also on the show. But Chuck is kind of migrating to the other side, Travis, because he is living in Florida with me now. You know, everybody left California, but, you know, Jeff's in Ohio. Chuck's here in Florida with me. And Travis, I think you're still bouncing back and forth between Tulsa and Vegas and all that stuff, you know, with your little fan base going on. So we appreciate you guys being on the show. And we're going to be talking about Jeff Winninger's got a major announcement for another winner. He's got his book coming out, On Thin Ice. And you go to the On Thin Ice book to get more information. OnThinIceBook.com to get more information. A shout out to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're on satellite radio, and we have been since May the 5th, and we're killing it on satellite. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the arm sponsor. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million people right now on stream. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please check it out. We will be doing a free giveaway for them as well. And also fishorlandobass.com. Now, Chuck has not heard about these guys. So, Chuck, Zach is a captain of a fishing charter. And fishorlandobass.com, they have a bass fishing charter. So if you're taking the wife and the kids or grandkids to Disney, pull up, drop them off, and then hook up with Zach in Orlando and do the fishing charter. And if you're feeling very adventurous, and I know you are because you're from LA and now you're living in South Florida, they have alligator hunting. So you can hook up with Zach and he gets calls to catch and release alligators. And it's I would love to get a video of you doing that, Chuck. So if you're up for that, I can hook you up with Zach in Orlando, whether it's the bass fishing or whether it's the gator or a little bit of both, you know, it's a great experience. So shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates, our very own lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these guys and entities for helping make the show happen. Now the what the appetite on what we're going to be talking about today. Guys, horrible news yesterday. It changed the direction of our country with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Unfortunately, we find ourselves having to talk about that on September the 11th, when we're remembering, 9/11. Also, we're going to be talking about the Florida AG, Uthmeyer, to the state attorney, Worrell, dropped the murder charge in a stand your ground case. That is getting some people getting tensions high. We got body cam showing Houston police officers fatally shooting an armed robbery suspect that happened after a chase. Then we got Los Angeles sheriff's deputies. They shoot a suspect who charges at a deputy with two knives. And then we've got New York City. Apparently, according to the article, they're stiffing 9/11 widows and orphans of critical medical payments. The union is making up the difference and paying the bills, but it's a sad story. And then we got body cam of an Indianapolis police officer shooting a suspect who killed two people over a $40 dispute. And the Florida GOP praises the appellate court for striking down Florida's open carry ban, where I live here, where Chuck and I are at. Man with a large hatchet fatally shot by Phoenix police officers outside an IHOP of all places. And then mayor in Illinois tells CNN that he turned off public safety cameras in defiance of ICE operations. And we have another story or two if we have time to get to that. And guys, we can take these out of order if you want to, but I do want to start off with Charlie Kirk. You know, yesterday after our show, I got notified, you know, that, you know, he was speaking. Of course, he founded Turning Point USA, and he was at the Utah Valley University, and he was assassinated. He's got a beautiful wife, two young children, and it's just a sad state. He was very outspoken. He was a Christian, and he was, you know, he had a lot of gifts, but he was extremely talented with debating, extremely respectfully on college campuses. And Charlie did not have the college degree, and he was challenged by college students who said, how can you teach us anything when you don't have the education that we have? And as soon as he opens up his mouth, it's like a Ben Shapiro. The guy's just brilliant, gifted, articulate, And more times than not, I saw him leave with changing people's opinion or at least their argument. They had to. They just simply couldn't keep it up and withstand the questions and the evidence, the fact-based evidence that he provided. So, guys, commentary on what happened yesterday. And then I don't know if you've been watching the news today about, you know, 9/11. But I really was impressed with how the media, at least, and I was watching mostly Fox News, but, you know, the national Fox News, not the local affiliate, but I was very impressed with how respectfully they've been able to talk about both, including President Trump. Travis Yates?
Yeah, Chip, obviously heavy heart today, but I think we have to acknowledge that we have a political supremacy problem in this country. There's a specific ideology on the left of the political spectrum that believes their viewpoint is so morally correct that their political opponents are so dangerous that assassinations and violence is the answer. I want to be clear. It's just, it's not just one random shooter or one insane person. Sometimes the media is going to make it, you believe that, but you don't have to call for the assassination of someone. Although there's many of clips out there of people doing that for various political figures. All you have to do is to give insane people a reason to do it. The political supremacists have been calling President Trump, Charlie Kirk, white males, MAGA, their opponents' names for a decade. Hitler, fascist, threat to democracy, garbage, deplorables. You know, Chip, it was a little more over a year ago that we were having a very similar conversation when President Trump came just a millimeter from having his head blown off, right? And we heard the same thing then we heard now. Oh, we need to turn down the rhetoric. Oh, this can't create a civil war. It's always odd to me that people that all were saying that seems to be where the political side of the bullets are flying. And I want to be clear to your audience. Republicans are being taken advantage of because of their decency, Chip. We're not burning Teslas. We're not rioting in the streets. We're not calling to defund the police. We're not chanting death to America. There were chants yesterday at Charlie Kirk's event, death to him, from protesters. What was Charlie Kirk's crime? 31-year-old father of two. What was his crime? He was going on college campuses in a very professional manner, and he would talk to anybody about issues. Gentlemen, that's the bedrock of our democracy. That's what this country is founded on, right? He was kind, he was decent, he was caring, yet they opposed him. You would have to be brain dead to not see that in his videos. Yet, they murdered him. What do you think this means for you? If these political supremacists are willing to murder a private citizen who openly discusses faith in Jesus Christ, who were educating young men on how to be men, doing this in a very dignified, professional way, what does that mean for everybody else? And my message to everyone is they need to stand up. Know that evil is there. Know there are demons among us. If you don't believe us, just look online today and stand up. There aren't enough bullets in the guns of insane, crazy psychopaths to stop what is coming. I fully believe in Romans 8:28. God is going to raise up thousands and thousands of young men to speak up amongst the culture, among young people. If they thought Charlie Kirk was a problem 2 days ago, they haven't seen anything yet.
Wow. Yeah, great words, touching, and you're absolutely right. I was literally disgusted by some of the things that I saw from congressional leaders and some of the stuff in print. Even before the show, Jeff was sharing something with us that someone had posted, and it's alarming. I hope people are paying attention. And guys, if you cannot continue to go through life and not choose sides. And it's come to that point that where, you know, just being complacent and letting stuff go, you have to choose a side. You have to decide what side of the fence you're on and stuff like this. And you have to be willing to do something in order to end it or at least curtail it. But yeah, some of the stuff you're seeing, some of the ugly side of stuff, people that have no respect for life. They don't realize that how precious it is. And take the faith-based thing out of it for a second, even though that's a key component. They just have no respect for life, and they rejoice at others' misfortunes. It's just some horrible. There are people that I absolutely cannot stand, even some former leaders for this country, that I would not stand for something like this to happen to them. I wouldn't be applauding and jumping up and down. And we're just seeing the exact opposite from the other side, and just letting us see what their true colors are like. So, yeah, just devastating, devastating news when it happened, and then the reaction from a lot of people. But of course, it lets you know where they're at and what they are. So, any more commentary on this, guys? We've only got seconds before we're going to be taking our first commercial break. But if not, let me go ahead and touch base. We are remembering, you know, September the 11th, and, you know, as bad as that was in our nation's history, it was also an opportunity for us all to band together and make our country stronger. So I think that arguably that is something that we can remember today. But guys, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online option into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they talk the talk, or they walk the talk, by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. I think you'd be very glad that you did. Also, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're going to be giving away one actually today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends, is what I always like to say. And I still love my new Danner boots that I just got there. They're always having sales, and they're always having opportunities like free shipping. So make sure you guys check it out. Again, that is at Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianceTechnologies.com. And guys, my favorite product is called The Glove, but they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, we already mentioned The Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. That is because The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, The Glove at ComplianceTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game and go to Compliant Technologies and check out the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianceTechnologies.com today and tell them the Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianceTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We're joined by Major Travis Yates. We have Lieutenant Jeff Winninger and also Lieutenant Chuck Springer on the show. Now, look, I was transitioning to our next topic, but I don't know that we've gotten everything out of the way yet, involving, you know, the Charlie Kirk story. So, Jeff, I know that you during the commercial break, you started, you know, talking about some stuff, and it was, I guess, to surmise, it was pretty much, where do we go from here? Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, you know, you would think you could be optimistic that we'd be able to move in a different direction where society here in the United States would not engage in this type of political violence. But I think if you're realistic about this, we can anticipate further incidents to occur. Right now here in the United States, we have a mental health crisis, and we have access to guns where people that shouldn't have them have them, and then we have an unbelievably toxic political climate right now, very divisive, and I'll say that words have consequences, not in a sense where you know anything like this should occur. What I'm saying is that people's words, by demonizing others, are causing these people with mental health issues to act out in this violent way. And it's just unconscionable, and it's un-American. As Travis said, it doesn't matter. I've always said I endorse bringing all types of diversity to the table, conflicting opinions, and it's about respectfully listening to everybody. It's never been about being right, it's about getting it right. And somewhere we're missing this, we've lost it. And it's frustrating. I don't really know what the path forward is going to be, because you hear people talking about this, and for the first minute or two it sounds great, but then they go right into the divisive rhetoric. I mean, look what happened in Congress yesterday when they wanted to have a moment of silence, and then someone requested some prayers, and Democrats were up in arms and were very disruptive. I mean, how is that possible? that's going on here in the United States with the values that we are meant to hold in this country and what we stand for. I got to tell you, it's frustrating, and I just don't really know what the path forward is.
Well, let's remember, and let's just talk about just briefly about, you know, we have a suspect. The FBI seems like they're doing a decent job. We had a couple of people of interest that ended up being released. There's a lot of misinformation that comes out when things start moving so quickly, because we thought that we, you know, there was announcements that they had caught the suspect and all this stuff. And so I know that Travis just made us aware during the break. I believe that they've released at least a picture of someone they're saying a person of interest. I don't know if that is a suspect or not. Before the show, I'd heard that they were the FBI was using their technology to try to track down that suspect, and that if they were unable to, they would solicit the public's help. So I don't know if we've reached that stage or if this is just someone else that's just a person of interest and not a suspect. But anyhow, that's where we're at right now. And so I have full faith in the FBI. This is what they're good at, and this is their opportunity to shine. So I'm looking forward to them, you know, bringing this guy to justice.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that the technology is going to solve this thing. You know, getting all of the videos and facial recognition, and the fact that they were to track his path, and you know, he went into the wooded area. They've got the weapon in custody now. You know, they apparently have some impressions, hand impressions, and forearm impressions, and footprint impressions, all those sorts of things. So,
right.
You know, they're definitely on the right track, and it's impressive. I've got to tell you, when you put all these resources into it, it's really impressive what we can do when we have combined federal, state, and local law enforcement working together. But yeah, it's going to be interesting who this individual is when they finally take him into custody.
Yeah, you look at a college campus, there has to be cameras everywhere, right? Everywhere, every angle, plus the thousands of cameras that were going at the time of this event, and people scrambling and running, and the still shots there. So yeah, I think technology combined with what Jeff said, I'd be shocked if we didn't know by the end of the day what's going on here, of who the suspect is. I really would, but as fast as this is moving along.
You know what's frightening, though, too, is when you're watching some of the video that has been presented on television, you have that person that was in the crowd, and they capture the guy on the roof, and like they stop and freeze on him, and they just kind of pan away. And it's like we in society, people have to understand that you see something like that, doggone it, you need to say something like right now. To prevent something like this from happening. Nobody has any business being on a roof during this type of event, unless it's law enforcement.
And you look at the level of security, you know, I don't know, but I would assume he obviously has heavy security, but it's probably inner perimeter security, right? He's not a political candidate or a president where they would have this extensive 200-300-yard security outside the perimeter. So I bet you'll start seeing it now, or you'll start seeing these events being limited.
Yeah, or drunk. Yeah, there's a lot of things they could do. I did read, of course, I don't know what to believe at this point. It's so fresh, but heard that the security seemed like it was pretty lax there. A lot of people aren't using the drone technology that's out there. There's a lot of things they could be doing different. But let's face it, if this was a long gun, as we're getting the information, other than being in an elevated position, you know, if someone wants you bad enough, you know, we should make it as difficult as possible for them. But oh my gosh, really, a sniper that's really can be that's a lot harder to defeat. So
well, really, people similar to Charlie Kirk need to be concerned, because what has happened is the threat assessments to Trump, the security that he's being provided through the Secret Service, is making him a hard target, essentially. So what are people doing? They're pivoting to
this
somebody that represents the same thing. And Charlie Kirk was essentially a mouthpiece for Trump. So he represented the same thing. So now they're going after the soft target. Now, Charlie Kirk, yeah, he had close proximity security, but that's to keep people off the stage or to keep people from rushing them and that sort of a thing. You don't have all this robust security services and resources available to you to have these extended outer perimeter security measures in place. And it's actually not even practical to even think about that being the case. I mean,
you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to. And you just, but the reality is our society is that society today. I mean, it's going to be interesting. And in regards to this could cause First Amendment stuff from not occurring on campuses, because campuses won't allow it because the liability they feel that they may be, taking on.
Well, and Chip, I know you're itching to move on. Let me just say one quick thing. Let's not forget.
Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, let's not forget before this, they were shutting these things down. Colleges were canceling these, right? And so there was things right that were happening long before this.
Well, hold that thought, guys. It's our next commercial break. We'll be right back. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Precision by Aero Defense, they demand perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. So visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody, even Chuck Springer. So since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning that you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 3-weight platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You'll be glad you did. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, and Lieutenant Chuck Springer. Wrapping up the conversation, the unfortunate one that we're having to have about the assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday. And Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, so I guess time to make a live announcement of this week's winner.
Yeah, or
so, swag box.
So, guys, are we wrapped up on the Charlie Kirk thing? Any last post? Any last messages on that? And thanks for we've been having a lot of interesting weigh-ins too on the stream as well. So, thanks, guys, for weighing in on that. Yeah. So Jeff, you've got On Thin Ice coming out. They can get more information on thinicebook.com. You've been doing the VIP swag stuff, and I can't wait to hear who the winner. I'm kind of hoping you read my name out, but go ahead.
Yep. So our weekly winner is Ashley Heiberger from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Oh, really? All right. I love it. I love it. And can you tell us what's in the swag? What's in the swag box again? Because I haven't seen one yet, or even gotten one in the mail yet. So I have a hard time remembering. So can you just refresh my memory?
They'll be mailed out after the release date, which is Tuesday. So you should receive it sometime next week. But it comes with a hard copy of the book, which will be signed, and then it has some other gifts that are influenced by the book itself. And you know, if you haven't gone and gotten on the email list, that's how you actually enter. Once you enter once, you're eligible to win every week. So if you haven't gone, go to onthenicebook.com, put in your email address, and have an opportunity to win the swag box.
I love it. I love it. Good. And congratulations on the book. Very exciting stuff. So I love it. You know, I know Travis has got the Courageous Police Leader, and I was feeling bad because I haven't written my book yet. Look at Travis holding that up. How can people check out the Courageous Police Leader, Travis?
Well, I don't normally have them here, but they just happen to be here. Amazon, Amazon bookstores, just type it in. It'll pop up.
I know you're usually sold out, you know, you usually can't even get a copy. Right, yeah. Yeah. Right. I would hate to be on the show with you guys and not be a guy that had a book out. You know, oh, that's right. Chuck's on the show, isn't he? Did I say that out loud? Did that come out? Is it too late to delete that? No, Chuck. Chuck. So
Chuck, hey, it's not hard. I did it. Trust me. Anyone can do it. It's not hard.
So
I'm working on one right now. I just haven't started it yet.
So I mentioned that I was going to make an announcement. So I actually have decided to go ahead and start. Jeff and I've been talking, and I am putting my story out there. So I'm actually have started working on that and getting that in to the point to where I can get that in print. So anyhow, I've started that. Right now, the intention is to put it out in book form. So we'll see what happens. But I've already started the work. And things are coming together pretty nicely. And Jeff's giving me some good advice. So anyhow, I'll keep you guys. It's hard to have a show and to host it, and then everybody's either got books or movies or been in movies or both. You know, so Chuck and I'll be helping each other out writing the books. So anyhow, any more information about the swag? Are you guys ready to go on to the next story? All right, so let's do this. We've got Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Florida AG Uthmeyer to state attorney Worrell drop the murder charge in Stand Your Ground case. So they have changed the Stand Your Ground, the you know, like the Castle Doctrine here in Florida. And now the burden of proof is actually, you know, they've switched the burden of proof to make it easier to defend yourself if you end up getting jammed up. And a heated debate is erupting in Central Florida's legal circles after Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer publicly called for the dismissal of a murder charge against a woman involved in a deadly road rage incident. And he's argued that she acted in self-defense. I have not seen the video personally, but it says that the move has ignited a political firestorm right now with the state attorney Monique Worrell, and she's firing back. And she's accusing the attorney general for the state of Florida that he's overstepping his bounds. Now, the case is involving Tina Algeo, who's 48 years old, and she ended up being charged with second-degree murder and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon in the shooting death of Mahal Telcove. And according to her attorney, who's Mark O'Mara, our female, Algeo, who is the one that is being charged, she shot the bad guy after he allegedly opened her car door. He started to assault her, and there's surveillance video that supposedly supports this account of what happened, and it shows this bad guy reaching inside her car just before the fatal shot. Now, her attorney, O'Mara, maintains that she was simply exercising her right to stand her ground, and it is true that in Florida, that doctrine applies not just to your residence, but it can apply to your vehicle as well. Now, in a video and a subsequent letter posted on X, Attorney General Uthmeyer put State Attorney Worrell, quote, on notice, stating that Algeo's actions constitute justifiable self-defense. And he warned her that her decision to prosecute could be a breach of her, and the words are pretty strong, could be a breach of her ethical obligations. It could amount to misfeasance, malfeasance, neglect of duty, and incompetence. And those words are strong because, you know, our governor, who he works for, Ron DeSantis, has removed sheriffs, Scott Israel, former public defenders like Andrew Warren here in Hillsborough County, a state attorney, or I think it was a state attorney over in Orlando area, a black female. So it could happen. So Worrell responds with a sharp statement criticizing our AG for his, quote, inexperience in criminal prosecution, and asserts that prosecutors are constitutionally empowered to exercise discretion. She stressed that determining whether stand your ground immunity applies is a matter for the judiciary, not for partisan politics. And prosecutors, the article says, don't serve as extensions of the governor or the attorney general. We serve the people of our circuit. Well, that's what she said anyhow. And it kind of closes with there's a motion to dismiss the case. It's been filed. There's going to be a hearing on October 30th. So the day before Halloween, and it's going to address the issue of immunity from prosecution. So I'm curious what's going to happen there. Any commentary on this, guys, or surprises? It is Florida, Chuck, by, I mean, you know, and you're here. So welcome to the club, baby.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. You know, as far as, I think what's important to note, and it's difficult to ascertain from the article because, as usual, they leave you without sufficient information to draw some conclusions from. But, you know, you can't just be scared and shoot somebody, right? You still have to, you're going to have to articulate to some degree, you know, your fear of great bodily injury or death. And I think that's what's important to note in some of these states that have these stand your ground laws. You know, you got to make sure that your population is aware of that. You just can't shoot somebody because you get scared of their presence. Now, it says that this guy assaulted her, but it really doesn't tell you what the nature of this assault was. You know, did he slap her or was he pummeling her to near unconsciousness? So again, hard to tell. I do agree to a certain point that these matters are best left to the judiciary, not for partisan politics. But we'll see what happens on this one. Interesting case.
Yeah, you know, we're never going to get rid of that reputation of a bunch of crazy people being in Florida, apparently, Chuck. Of course, you know, I'm thinking it's because all the LA people are moving here, but that's just my point. But Jeff Winninger, he's got a serious look on his face, so I can't wait to hear what he says.
Well, I would just hope that you're going to give deference to the victim here, who is actually the person that's being assaulted, because we don't want citizens, if they feel threatened of serious bodily injury or death, to not take the action because they're afraid that they're going to get caught in a big, you know, criminal court case.
Right.
So it's, you know, if it was my wife or daughter or whatever, and you gave this type of circumstances, I don't know if I would tell them to wait and see. There's certain assumptions you can make. It's that people are going to be violating your space to a certain extent. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you need to err on the side of your own protection. And quite frankly, that should serve as a deterrent. People realize that people have the right to defend themselves. And yes, I agree with Chuck. It can't just because you're afraid or what have you. You need to be able to articulate. But at the same time, citizens aren't trained like police officers to be able to articulate their objective reasonableness to use force under the Fourth Amendment under Graham versus Connor. But I would hope that the judiciary would give the citizens some serious deference and give them the benefit of the doubt. And
agree.
We wouldn't be in this place.
Agree. I mean, without seeing the video, if it is as they say, it's pretty alarming that she's been charged. But hopefully, I have faith in the judicial system. I think the right thing will end up happening. But it is. I am curious to see what happens with this state attorney now that she's on the radar. Travis.
Well, I have a quick question for Jeff. I think he's probably even Chuck. You're probably more expert this than me, but. What about the less lethal fire, not less lethal fire, but the less lethal weapons that are being advertised? Like, I think it's Burn Co. or Burn something, BYRNE, where they're sending these high-speed projectiles out that aren't a firearm. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, my wife, who's not particularly well-trained in firearms training. Last thing I want to do is her to get involved in something that would get her in trouble criminally. What's your thoughts on those weapons?
Well, we're 15 seconds out, so everybody's looking at me. Hey, we're going to go to commercial break, guys. We are going to be announcing some winners, too, but your last chance to enter the two contests. We'll be right back. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that's GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We are joined by, well, I'm Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by Travis Yates, retired major from Tulsa, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, retired LAPD commander, and another retired LAPD commander, Lieutenant Chuck Springer. So thanks for being on the show, guys. Appreciate it. And we do have our winners for the two giveaways. So, and that is on the stream. They can type in things to win. I explain a lot of that during the commercial break, but we've got Sally Francis Ford that won the two Bells giveaway. And then our own Betty Dunn, she won the Gold's gift card giveaway as well. So congratulations to both of them for the wins. And if anyone's interested, and we do a lot of giveaways. So if you're ever watching the stream and you're doing, that's going to be during the live show. And that is 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And we're on all the major outlets. If you go to LeoRoundtable.com, at the top of the menu, you'll be able to find out where we're at and links to everything. We tell you what to type in order to enter the contest. So, and we love that. So we've been talking about the Attorney General for Florida and the issue that he's got going with a state attorney down here. And then Jeff Winninger, I know you just opened your mic and you were talking about the giveaway for On Thin Ice book, but earlier, but you have the floor.
No, I just wanted to address Travis's question at the end of the last segment. My suggestions for women is that you want to be careful because oftentimes women have a smaller stature than men who would potentially be the suspects who would take advantage of them. So I've always suggested that they use something that can't be used against them. So I've never really encouraged necessarily OC spray because that can be turned against them. As well as like a taser type mechanism, not necessarily a good idea. I actually, Chuck would probably be familiar with this. Chuck and I used to play on the LAPD hockey team together. So You ever hear those horns that they blow, air horns, they blow at hockey games? That it's, you know, that it's such a loud, loud noise that it draws so much attention that, you know, the idea is to try to deter something from happening to you before they get to you or could lay hands on you. So, you know, never be afraid to reach into your purse. These things are small. They're just fit right in your hand. And that the decibels of that thing, it'll scare anybody away. So that's always been my suggestion. You want to be careful. If you're not really proficient with something or have the ability to maintain control of it, if you are attacked, it can make things worse for you because it can be turned and used against you.
Chuck?
Yeah, and Jeff just mentioned this here after I opened up my mic, but, you know, in these states that have, you know, either concealed carry for anybody or open carry, you're really foolish if you're unfamiliar with firearms, if you're going to carry one. Please go out and get some classes, take some shooting lessons, become proficient with that firearm. And, you know, the better part of valor sometimes is backing down or avoiding conflict. You know, staying your ground is fine when it comes to push to shove, but you're better off trying to avoid conflict than you are, you know, engaging in conflict. And this also goes for a lot of retired folks. If you're carrying and you're not paying for concealed carry insurance, you're playing with fire. It's only about $300-$400 a year, and you get, you know, immediate access to an attorney. I think most of the plans have up to $2 million worth of liability coverage. You're foolish, especially if you have a pension or, you know, if you're worth some money, if you've got real estate. You know, there's a lot of civil consequences that don't get discussed in this forum. You know, we're discussing the fact that, you know, maybe she shouldn't get charged, but she may get sued because she killed somebody. So be smart.
That's a good point. Excellent advice, Chuck. And see, that's why we have you on the show, Chuck. That's good. That's good stuff. None of the other guys brought that up. You brought that to the table. We appreciate it. So, hey,
wow. He's not only good looking, he's bright.
So we've got 5.5 minutes, guys. Let's look, if there's any preference of taking anything out of order, let me know. I mean, I've got the Houston police guy shooting the robbery suspect after the chase. I'm going to cover that unless you guys want to take something else out of order. We also have a LA sheriff's office story as well. So is this one good enough for you guys to start off with? Then I'll assume it is. Okay, so at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, we have a body cam video shows HPD, which is the Houston Police Department officers, they fatally shoot an armed robbery suspect that happened after a chase.
Put the guns down and walk this way, brother. It's not worth it. Let's talk about it here in a minute. Just come over here with your hands up. Hey, it's not worth it, brother. It's not worth it.
I want to shoot you.
We don't want to shoot you. It's not worth it, brother. It's not worth it, brother.
Drop the weapon.
Brother, it's not worth your life. You have, bro, you're young. It's not worth your life.
Hey, shoot.
Hey, what's up, guy? What's up?
Deal.
Do not fucking touch.
So the officer responded to reports of an armed robbery on August the 10th and at 7 o'clock in the evening. And they get the information on the suspect's vehicle and they locate it and they try to pull the driver over. It ends up being Jonathan Velasquez. But this guy, of course, refuses. And he leads police on a 15-minute chase throughout Southwest Houston. He eventually stops at a home where the officers say that he exits the vehicle and he's armed with two guns. There is a video component to this. which is why we're describing this in great detail for our listeners. Officers give multiple verbal commands for this guy to drop the weapons, but he does not. And then we have multiple officers firing their guns, fatally shooting the suspect. There is, in the video, you can see this guy raise the gun up towards the officer. They even do a special slow motion zoom in, and no officers end up being injured in the incident. And I'm just looking here at my show notes here. You know, the critique that I had was, is that this guy gets out. He's a robbery suspect. My gosh, they're chasing the dude. He stops the car. They let him get out of the car with two guns. One of them is a freaking long gun. And then he leaves the driver's door open, and they allow him to get behind the driver's door and then behind the front end of his vehicle that could be used as cover. And I don't want to get in a shootout with anybody, but this guy's got a long gun, not an equal fight. Now, they do have more than one cop there, and then things go down from there. There was a ballistic shield on scene. I'll let you guys talk about the use of the ballistic shield. You had a separate guy. The only guy's job was to hold a ballistic shield. He didn't even have his gun. He didn't even break leather. He was just holding the shield on with both hands, standing next to a guy, you know, that had a pistol. So I'll let you guys take it away. Travis Yates.
Yeah, I want to be, you know, very mindful here that, you know, this was a success. We did not get hurt. Bad guy lost on this deal, and that should be the attitude of everything. But let's not let that get in the way of some of the things that we saw. And I have a different take here. I'm going to have a take that's according to case law standards and Graham v. Connor standards and objective reasonable standards, that this guy's committed an armed robbery. He steps out of a truck with a long rifle. I stopped counting to drop the gun at 15 times. We let him get behind cover, and we continue to plead with him. And I think every officer in America, and even citizens that want to evaluate what we do, need to study the action reaction studies that are out there. Okay. That guy could have raised that weapon at any time and shot any cop he wanted. I don't care if his weapon's down or not. It takes about a third of a second for your brain to even recognize that movement from his gun. It takes about a quarter of a second to actually do that from that standing weapon up. Study those studies. I think law enforcement's gotten away from this. We've gotten away from standards that keep us safe. And we're erring on the side of what's this going to look like at the end of the day. And I want officers to get a different attitude about this. Let's go home. And you're not going to always give yourself the best chance if you plea with the guy carrying a rifle a few yards from you, and then you let him get more advantage by getting cover.
Wow. Spot on. Anybody else on this one? We've got about a little less than 2 minutes left. Chuck Springer.
Yeah, I think Travis discussed the biggest takeaway for this for me. From an analysis standpoint, again, I don't know what the officer's statements were. You know, I haven't seen the totality of the evidence, but there's some cover issues I'm concerned with. Please, somebody turn the siren off at the end of a pursuit. I mean, how long was it? You're trying to communicate with the guy. I don't think he's hearing anything you're saying with that siren on. So, and I think there's another video that I saw that you put out, Chip, where that was an issue as well. But so get the siren off. It looked like from the body worn video that they spent almost 5 minutes negotiating with this guy, based on the clock on the video. I think they probably could have come up with a better plan in that time period that would have precluded seven officers from having to fire. I don't think you need that much. Again, that's just a little bit of a ding on my point. It's not a huge issue, but you probably don't need that many, those number of officers firing their guns. And at the very end, I see an officer with a rifle who puts his rifle down behind him when he's trying to address the suspect. I'm not comfortable with that. You know, you could get some wingnut walking up on the scene and grabbing your rifle. I think you need to keep possession of your rifle. Those are just some of the few things I noted from the video. But again, as Travis mentioned, the cops won, the suspect lost. That's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, amen. I think you're right. So another great show, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. Major Travis Yates, Jeff Wininger, and also Chuck Springer. Great show, great content. But don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about just briefly the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rainey Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. He has a summit coming up as well. Travis, I heard that you're going to be at the summit, so that is a great opportunity for officers in need to go, and with their spouses as well. So go to thewoundedblue.org to get more information, guys. And it's a great opportunity. And I want to mention our sponsors again. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to make sure that this show is available for you guys. And that is at Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Great Rifles and Long Guns, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, and TwoBells.com and FishOrlandoBass.com. Please check those sources out. And of course, especially FishOrlandoBass.com, our new sponsor. Hope everybody has a wonderful and a safe week. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.